you to do that shit.
I'm Agnew William. I'm here through God's grace and God's tender mercy, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. I'm like real grateful to be here. You know, it was funny because I was looking at the program and so they had the night, they had My Will versus God's Will. And then on Sunday morning, they have God's will versus my will. And so I'm thinking, so why I got to get the my will first shit? Because sometimes you get a topic that's catered for you. And so sometimes all the evidence that really exists, you know what I mean? Because we always assume there's an assumption, and the assumption is that people really, really aren't watching you. And the assumption is, so then the assumption is, and because nobody thinks that nobody's watching you but you. No, I'm talking about with Antonio, he talked about the thought process, about how we think, and the second step talked about that addicts tend to live based on what they believe, and then the fourth step goes a little deeper than that, and it talks about how we'll invent somebody. So then the question then becomes, are all the decisions that you're making and all your beliefs that you currently have in your here and now, totally based on the invention, and the invention is whose skin you're walking around in. So who do you really think you are, and why do you think nobody's paying any attention to you? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm stuck on that because I really want to think, because think this, right? There's always a stage in my recovery where what I'm doing, I'm absolutely okay with. Now, really, I don't really want to waste a lot of time about what it was like after the first time I got high and all the stuff that happened before the last time I got high, because we all know what that move is made, what that move looks like. But I'm talking about, like, now you clean. Like, we're in a room full of clean people. On a Friday night, the damn comedy show is going on. You could be doing anything else. And I'm here because I'm, on any given day, still stuck believing that how I'm acting is okay. So I was sitting there, and all I could think of was the amends that I needed to make to people who were walking in and out of the room, because I think that on any given day, even recently in the last few years, after 20 years clean, after you get 20 to life, that you still are acting out on certain behaviors that are causing harm to people that you don't intend to harm. So I'm in here and I'm watching guys like Sherman come in the room. And let's just do this right in front of everybody. We did all the bullshit in front of everybody. Let's do some healthy shit in front of everybody. I need to really make an amends to you and say I'm sorry to you. Because what I realized is who I was harming was me. There's something about walking around there with resentment with somebody. There's something about getting a thrill and getting excited when you see somebody and you can walk around and put the mean face on with all your fucking clean time and be an asshole to somebody that you claiming you got recovery. The person with the recovery bears the responsibility. Well, I walked around for years hating on this guy over some woman who's happy ever after with some other man. And for no real apparent reason. You ever just see somebody walking and meeting and you see them and You ain't really got no here and now reason to be mad at them, that captain. And you walk around, you see him, and you do that move where, you know, you have no reason. There's no reason y'all should ever come in 3 foot space, but you make sure y'all come in 3 foot space, and then you like get real close,
right?
Because you a nut in the head, you know, you a cutter and a shooter and all that stuff. Now you may be better with that clean, you know what I mean? But you still, you know, because you excited, because with all your clean time, you got a 40 caliber that you can rock around on your hip in Virginia, and you a guy that the only real crime if you ever committed wasn't shooting people, you a stabber, you a person that stabs people. You like, no, you're an up close and personal kind of guy that like to see jokers bleed right in front of them. Sick. You ever just be grateful that the other person realized you a sick enough motherfucker to not really want to be bothered with you? I mean, because I can only just imagine Sherman's like, you know what, like, we in D.C., motherfucker. Like, this is my house and shit. This motherfucker's crazy. I'm talking about living in my world clean. You just walk up on him like you just, oh, I just wish he would just, like, let his arm brush up against me. I just need a reason to jump this shit off. But I'm telling other people I got love things going on with people in my life. I tell you that I fell out when my child was born. So I'm telling you I'm deeply in love with my son, which is absolutely God's will. But I'm seriously hating on him for no current event reason and shit. At the same time, I'm telling you and my good sharing stuff that loving something so deeply and hating something so deeply should never be able to exist at the same time. But I exemplify the disease's ability to live in me clean. I'm walking around stuck with clean time. I show up, I pull up 10 minutes at the event. I'm happy, jazzed, and free. I'm so excited to be there. I walk in, I see him, my whole shit changes. He ain't done nothing to me for real, for him. My whole thing. I'm thinking about the move we're about to make. I'm about to show this whole city. I know we in D.C., but I'm from Camden. New Jersey, that is. You know, the sickest ass city in the country for 5 out of the last 10 years. Number 2 for the other 3. 3 for 2. We working with some shit. Hella crazy folk who stab people. More flowers on fucking poles and porches than any other fucking city. All I need him to do is just brush me. Then I tell you that I'm working on this relationship with my God. And I start doing these things, and I start consciously making an effort to communicate differently so that my relationship with God starts to be in display so that people can tell I'm working on my relationship with God. But then I walk into a room where he's at and I lose the ability to act like I even know God. Just like with a flick of a switch. For no current event reason. None. We're supposed to be prime examples of what recovery has to offer. But we want to say, oh, but there's no one great, you know, recovery role model. And blah, blah, blah. I'm not talking about the one person that everybody in the whole room should be able to look to and say, you're the example of what we can. I'm talking about each and every one of us. We all bear the responsibility of being invited back here next year. Not just William S., not just Antonio, all of us. But on any given moment, this sick joker up here is walking around with an absolute plan to blow your convention for next year. Wow. Is she sitting there like, he just saying that. No! I'm just saying, the Emma McGuire Project product. I lived on Westminster Avenue. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of sick like that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We know when Bum Rush the Show came out, when they did that, we was kicking jokers up under cars and shit. And we were just like, we found thrills and beating the shit out of jokers and shit. And like, this is the kind of thrillful shit that I believe in. I have it, that is sunk in my head. And so when I find a reason to do it, I found a reason to come in here and start to bury and embrace the program by becoming a living example of a recovery at the offer, but my mind hasn't changed. I haven't changed the way that I really think. It's all conditional. It's all based on as long as y'all fucking treat me right. I'm just waiting for one of y'all to make the wrong move, man. I don't have it in me to not fucking put my foot in your neck like I dream about putting my foot in people's fucking neck. I'm not, you don't need a whole lot of muscles and all that bullshit to put your foot in somebody's neck. I ain't from that. You don't fucking need that. None of that matters to me. So I'm like, I just don't have the natural ability to act like I got some fucking fear. Just think, you know, so just get stuck like that. You know, so I put all my pride on like the few things that I'm successful at, so that some kind of way that can cover it up, so you can't see how fucked up I can be. I got one more tape, and one more CD, and waiting for the fucking video or some shit, but I'm like crazy to cuckoo for fucking Cocoa Puffs on any given day. And so I'll hide that out, and then I'll go ahead and get better. And then I become absolutely frustrated when somebody calls me on some shit that isn't me. Because I think that when you call me on some bullshit, that what you're really trying to call me on is all the shit I am. What do you think your will versus God's will is? Do you really think that God just wants us to be around here suffering? Do you expect to be running around here without the best of everything that you can dream about or fantasize about? Do you think it's the program of recovery's fault that you only wear a check because you're afraid to buy some leather? No, I mean, I got chucks, and my son do, and my girlfriend do. We all got the same damn chucks. That shit is fashionable. It ain't because I'm afraid to buy some damn brand new shell tops and shit. I still got people trying to figure out how you make a move, how you quit a job on December 30th and get in a house a month later. They still stuck on the damn road. Did he just quit his job? Did he walk away from his career? And fuck it, he got shit. How he got a house? How he just took his son? And like, how's he being a father and shit? And I'm saying, how are you not? Hey, how he get a truck? I wonder what his payments are and shit. I ain't got no damn payments. I bought the fucking truck. I'm just saying, you're going to talk about it. Yeah. It's parked way around the corner. I don't want none of y'all parking next to it. I don't need no intentional dings on my motherfucking lanes. Fuck that. I'm just talking about how I could come in here and be stuck. I'm still talking about how I could come in here and operate in my will while I'd be so afraid to live according to God's will, because I still don't believe that His will is really good for me. It's so easy to talk your way out of living right. It's so easy. So when we have a conversation and you say to me about some guidelines that you and your wife you have that are healthy in your house, and I'm thinking, well, shit, you know, because I still need an example that something else is better than how I'm thinking. I had to upgrade the people I hang with. So when I say I'm looking for winners to hang out with, sometimes it ain't you. just saying. You know, a good friend of mine said, I haven't heard you in a while. I said, because my priorities changed. I got a fucking son that I take care of. You can't invite me to Florida unless you got Disney World tickets. No, I'm asking that right away. So you want me to fly in on Friday and share my ass off on Saturday and keep him in the event all day? Oh, keep him in the event? You're bringing him? Yes, I'm bringing him. I don't have a fucking babysitter. His mom is a part-time babysitter. I don't have a fucking babysitter. The only way I'm going to have a babysitter is to pay money and shit. But if you want to fly me out for the weekend and allow me to have a good time, you need to take care of Angelus too. You know Angelus, the one that y'all like all his fucking y'all like him better than fucking me on Facebook. So don't act like you don't know who Angelus is. Yeah, Angelus is coming. We're not flying in on Friday. We're not leaving on Sunday. We need to come at least on Thursday. We're not leaving until fucking Monday. We need at least two parks, and I need parking at the fucking park. Somebody said, you asked for a whole lot to go share. No, I was home. Just because you don't see what God's will is in that, that's not my fault. Real God's will starts to make real priorities. You start to settle into what's important to you. You don't realize what God has in store for you until he gives it to you. Then you got it, and most of the stuff he gives us, he already knows that we don't have the integrity to maintain it. So he gives it to us anyway so that we can develop integrity by trying to hold on to what he gave us that's even bigger than the dreams that he gave us. So you build integrity when you move into position. Not before, after. So why then would it be important to get Disney World tickets? Because my son needs a sponsor. He needs to know that there's somebody that got his back, that laughs at the stuff that he says that's funny, that he can come along and just rub my head. All right, daddy. And somebody that'll sit in karate class and cheer when he breaks the fucking board at 4 years old and be all excited when Mickey says, there you are. No, I'm talking about when I was standing there at Disney World. I think this man, I'm standing there, and Mickey, you know, because he got the, I know it's all fake out. It's like the most magical, beautiful shit ever. You know what I'm saying? And he's got the whole mask on, and there's no way he fucking talks like that. First off, it's echoing through the whole room. He has no microphone I can see, because I'm watching everything, because I always look for a reason to disqualify miracles. So I'm staring, and my son is like, he's trying to jump the line, and I'm trying to tell him, because, you know, I got practice at Six Flags America, you know, I know you want to stand in fucking line, and I just didn't know that you can't jump all these other kind people, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got to alter what I'm just acting my way into a better way of thinking, so I say nice ass shit. When I'm with my son, this is some grown folks shit. I'm cussing a little bit, but when I'm with Angel, no, son. We have to wait our turn, Omar, and just wait. And then look, oh my God, this is so wonderful. And then Mickey's there, and he's got the big glove. And then, you know, they figured it out. It's like they've been listening to and figured out who the fuck you are. They make you sign the paper. You forgot you signed the paper. You told him your name. You told him your son's name. Now you're amazed because Mickey's like, hi, Angelus, there you are, and you're crying because you can't fucking believe that Mickey Mouse knows your son. You're a cutter. You're a fucking cutter. You got scars from broken knuckles and shit. You're a cutter. You got shit that's still here, and luckily you're a black enough joker and enough sun and shit, they can't see the scars, but you're a cutter, you've been scratched, you've been all jabbed up on and stuff, but you're in tears in Disney World while Mickey talks to your son because you're amazed because you never met Mickey. Because you never met him. And you don't know how to live
and that kind of God's will. You don't know how to do the kind of stuff that makes other people happy at your expense because you never had it for yourself, and you're still waiting for somebody else to break a cycle that you don't realize that you already broke. So I'm sitting down there, because people, they just see me, they say, well, we don't know how he did it, and he got all this clean time, and he been sharing all over the place. Well, let me tell you how I did it. I was living in this beautiful home because I thought that's what I deserved, and then I realized when I was having a son, I moved out of my apartment and started renting a room because I knew that I was going to have to fight for my son, and I needed my resources to fight for my son. And so I moved into somebody's basement with over 20 years clean because making sure that he was going to be okay was more important than making sure that you thought I was okay based on what I was holding on to. And I went in the room and I felt homeless. I wouldn't even go upstairs and cook because it felt like it was not my house, Rodney. And I felt ashamed, but I knew I was doing the right thing, but I was in the basement. With 20 years clean in the basement, in the place with cribs and all this colorful stuff on the wall and stuff, and I nested and I did all the things, and I went and I studied because I got sick and tired of people telling me that I wasn't built for the job. And I said, you know what, I know I gotta be built for the job. There's no way I could be this in love with another human being and not be built to take care of them. And so I started studying, and they said, we need you to go study what it is that you bring as a valuable thing as a man to your child. And then when we go to court to fight for your child, we don't want you to waste any energy talking about how horrible she is. We want you to prove to the judge how valuable you are. None of us is going to talk about my real story about how I didn't feel like I deserved it, but I did it anyway. And I started giving away all the stuff that I had. And I had this beautiful Mustang, you know, with the 20s on it and all that cute shit. Y'all saw it. I was pulling up the events in my brand new shed. And I parked that. And I went and got a four-door car because the Mustang ain't cute with a rear-way facing baby seat in it. I'm talking about priorities. I'm talking about changing and aligning my will with God's, man, and taking on the responsibility that he gave me. And he said, look, I'm a gift. Look, this is your job. Like, I want you to have him. And so I go and I go to get this lawyer, and I can't even afford this lawyer. And I mean, I make good money. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think you just can never afford that lawyer. I don't know how anybody wins, because like nobody can really afford them, because the more you have, the more they need to put in the bucket. But I get to this place and the lawyer interviews me, and he says to me, I'm going to represent you because I can tell that you're not just here to avoid support payments. I can tell that you love your son, and I am a lawyer who loves children. And so because I love children, I'm going to make sure that you're okay so that your son is okay. And I'm studying and I'm doing all the things because I'm telling you to live in God's will. I had to start to act like I was somebody who lived in God's will. And in order to start believing, I needed examples. And I started realizing when I started checking off all these things, I said, oh my God, like you ever just for the first time ever see something and then you just realize how blessed you have been over and over and over and over. Like he's been blessing you. Like he's been blessing you. You ain't never got what you deserve. Thank God. So I'm there and I do that. And I need to share this with somebody, not for the particular circumstances, but just for the practical application of a belief that I didn't walk in the door with, that I started operating in, that I believe more. I just thought, I could do it, Peter. I could do it. You know what I mean? I'm going to fight for him. You know what I mean? I'm going to do whatever it takes, even when I couldn't see for a whole month. You know what I mean? Even when I had to round up a whole meeting for the NA people to show up at the court with me, even when I gave them all a mission, look, all y'all job is she's going to be there, is to take turns walking past her on the way to the bathroom and mean mug that bitch.
Now y'all laughing. No, I'm dead serious. And so, you know, when you have a sick mission, you get the sickest people in the meeting with. Oh, because there's people for every mission in here. Oh, if I'm going through some shit and I need somebody to help me spy on my woman to come, I need to call Minnesota, and I got a couple people that will spy on you for me. But they're sick enough that the same guys I get to spy on you will be the same guy that'll try to talk to you. So I'm not getting nobody to fucking spy on, is what I'm saying. I don't want them that deep in my business. What I'm saying to you is that when it was all said and done, and I'm sitting there, and I got this one healthy guy because he slipped through the cracks. Sometimes the healthy people slip through the cracks. And I got this one healthy guy that slipped through the cracks, and he's sitting right beside me, and he refuses to take the simple suggestion. He did that. We're waiting for a spiritual. No. He just walked by, look at her real mean, you know, do some nasty shit. Tell her how fucked up she is for keeping the baby away from me for my. You know he loves. He'll say something. He wouldn't do it. This is what he said to me. He said, "William, you don't notice how all these other lawyers are asking your lawyer for help? You don't realize that the sharpest knife in the drawer is sitting beside you? You don't see how everything is playing itself out in your favor? I'm talking about really upgrading your team. You don't see that if you just keep doing what you're doing and hang around with these different types of people and stuff, that what's possible for you, even when you can't see it, they'll remind you what's good? Remember when we took that ride and I was so stuck because I did the dummy move with my girl and you started saying, and I was like, I just don't know how this is going to work out. And B-Max said, so let me just ask you a fucking question, because, you know, he's one of them smart motherfuckers. And I said, well, what's your fucking question? Because he was driving. Of course, I'm going to let him ask the question. He was driving. And he said, so have you guys stopped talking every day? And I was like, well, no. And that was a dumbass question. He said, then how do you know how it feels to not talk to her? Because you're still operating like you guys are going to be okay. So why don't you just keep doing what you're doing and see what happens? But you know I can't give you a pass on that dummy shit you did. I'm like, well, I'm just saying, I thought, yeah, didn't you share some dummy shit you did before? Nah, that was some fuckboy shit. Like, you did some dummy shit, you got a lot of clean time, and you was wrong, and so, like, own that. And she asked you one simple question, why'd you do that dumbass shit? And you owe her a real answer. So why don't you go do some work with your 20 plus years clean, sit down with your sponsor, find out why it is you did the dumb shit you did, and then answer her with why you did what she did so that she's clear it had nothing to do with her. Because self-will gives you all the reason and excuses why you only did what you did because she wasn't doing some shit she should have been doing. And God's will help you to identify that she ain't make no bad moves. She was just being who she is, and the fuckboy shit was all yours. I know that was kind of deep. You know, that's what happens when you're working on Happy Ever After. You work through stuff. You know what I mean? So I want to close, man. Oh my God. So, cause it was funny, guys. I remember sharing here before, and you know, and sometimes, you know, I could have did the no profanity. I could have really showed y'all my spiritual game was incredible. And you know, that ain't real hard to do. We got a lot of them around here, and so sometimes you got to tell people who you really are, just so, because there's somebody in the room saying, well, how can I ever get there? So my honey said, well, why you got your fly ass shit on? You know what I mean? And I said, because some addicts only believe what they can see. And so if you need to believe that we came up from where you are now, then we can tell you where we've been, but we should look like where we are. This ain't for me. I ain't buy this shit. I don't really give a shit. You know what I mean? I'm just glad that I have a child that doesn't throw up on shit like this anymore.
So anyway, so in closing, I came here before, and I was going through some stuff, and so I'd share with everybody just because they was like, oh my God, like people are doing all this crazy shit. Oh, yo, we'll fall back with that bullshit. So I had to tell them, and I was telling y'all about the McDonald's shit. You know, the McDonald's shit, you know. Anyway, like some shit happened and McDonald's, and I was a little crazy, and I did some shit. And so, anyway, so I had to need people to see that I'm a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs like y'all are. So now, so the game changed. So now I'm like 25 years plus. I'm in the 25-year crew, and some shit happened recently, man. And I just wanted to tell y'all this in closing, man. Like, I'm in the store, and I'm just chilling. You know what I mean? It's always some other place with people that aren't addicts. So I can always make excuses up with y'all. I can just say, I was just playing. You know what I mean? Hope up for the grace of God. You know what I mean? I can throw almost all kind of shit at y'all. But I wasn't trying to do that. So to get Tim, Tim, oh, I need to make amends to you. I probably said some fucked up shit about you before because you tried to make me leave my car in New York when I had the 2-flat-tire thing. But anyway, yeah, that's some bullshit, but he can handle it. He a big boy. And so... So I'm hanging out in the store, right? I'm telling my baby, I have to tell him this story and then shut the fuck up. So I'm in the store, and I'm ready to pay, and there's this lady in front of me, and it's always little old ladies and shit, I guess because they've seen out acting, or they just don't give a fuck, or whatever. You know, you can get too old, you just don't give a fuck. I think that's some of y'all part. You done got old in recovery and don't give a fuck, and then the real you starting to come out. But anyway, so she don't give a fuck. So what happened was I'm talking, and I'm chilling, and I'm good, pay for my stuff, and I'm got cash. My cash game is okay at that day. And then what happened was I dropped this 20, and she's like, oh, you know, so, but she was in the way. You know, I was going to let her do her thing, get my 20. So what happened was she turned around, she saw my 20 before I saw my 20, right? So she reaches down the bill and she grabs my 20. Now I'm like, look, I'm in the line. I think the cashier sees it. This is my fucking 20. I got witnesses and say, y'all know that she don't even look like she got a 20. So then y'all know that this is my fucking 20, right? So I said, excuse me, miss, you know, ha ha, the, yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna handle this shit, but miss, that's my 20, right? I'm just saying, that's my 20. She said, I just believe that whatever you find in the universe is yours. No. Okay, y'all laughing too fucking hard at that. And so, damn it, but I got all these years clean. I'm living a spiritual life. I've realigned my will around me with God. I'm living based on spiritual principles. I'm being rewarded based on my actions and my behaviors and shit. But I'm really having a bad moment right here. And I'm saying, look, they're saying, right? I said, ha. So I did it again. This is obviously a joke. Man, that's really my 20. The universe, and she grabs her bags and she bounces. No. I just wanted to say some spiritual shit like that was the end of it. But I followed it. Fuck the shit on the register. I'm not buying nothing. Dig this Umar, so I'm following her, right? And I'm saying, excuse me. I mean, what the, you know what I mean? I'm looking around, I want to hide my N.A. necklace, you know, take off the N.A. hat shit, oh, fuck, that this is about to be, yeah, that's my 20, yo. I'm not talking spiritual or not, I'm back to yo and every fucking thing. I'm ready to call her Aki and say, yo, ah. I get off, so now I'm following. I'm like, well, miss, that's really my 20, but the universe, you know what I'm saying? So she gets to her car. She got the little cart there and shit, and she got her bags, and she opens her trunk and shit, and I get a great idea. I'm going to fix her right now. So I run up, B. I run up, and I grab one of her fucking grocery bags, and I haul ass. She's like, sir, that's my bag. I said, yeah, but whatever you find in the universe. I'm like, no, wait a minute, I keep coming back.